Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. I want to put a disclaimer in advance. A lot of times I get phone calls. It's not for Yeshiva Bachrim. Well, we're going to be talking about the protocols for Machlekes this week. How do we argue, both in Halacha, Hashkafa? So it may not be for younger, if you're younger than a certain age, if you're easily offended, you should not be listening to the program. You have it out there. That's a warning. So shut the radio. The phone line, hang up the phone line, which is a good opportunity for me to say, in the United States, our phone is 732-806-8700. In Israel, it's 02-372-0304. In England, 330-117-0250. You can get all our programs on Yeshiva World News, on Headlines, on the App Store, either for Samsung or iPhone, Headlines Radio Show, or at our website, headlinestorah.com. And I am proud to say that on headlinestorah.com, I'm happy to say, we have the Mara Mekoimis for all 140 shiurim have been put up by our wonderful expert in Mara Mekoimis, Rav Harav Hagoyin, Rav Yanki Berkowitz. So if you need to know any of our Mara Mekoimis, you can just go there, click on headlinestorah.com, and you will get the an exact copy of the Chazal, Rishon, Achron, Gemara, etc. that we are quoting. So what are we speaking about this week? We want to speak about the protocols for Machlokes. There's been a lot of Machlokes in Eretz Yisrael. Does the Torah have protocols? Can we say anything we want? Can we call anybody any name? Are there any limits? Like, here's a little clip. Listen to this, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael today. So do we have protocols? You know, in a divorce, there are people who get divorced, and it's amicable, it's done respectfully, there are kids, children involved, they want to preserve their own covet, the covet of their spouse, the covet of the children, of the family. Look, people often disagree. G'shem she'ein partzufeyem shoveis, kach deyaseyem shoveis, Chazal tell us. We look alike, we think alike. Adam nivra yechidi, each one of us is individual. It's more natural for us to disagree than to agree. We have our own opinions. One way to do it is get a restraining order against the spouse, probably claim that they were sexually molested the children, the most common thing, in, unfortunately, in divorces that the lawyers ask people to do. Lock up the bank accounts, hire the divorce lawyer or tie-in that you could get outright, or we'll show you, we'll get even. That's one way. What's another way? Where it's done respectfully. Let's see. You know, what do Chazal talk about that? How do Chazal talk about it? And I'll give you, I see this on my program. We speak about many controversial topics here. We speak about addiction in Halacha. We've spoken about Zionism, both sides, and very polite to both sides. Look, I'm not a Safma. We've had two Safma representatives, one from Rav Zalman Leib, from, I believe that's Williamsburg, one from Rav Aaron. Both of them had their entire time to talk. There were no voices raised. So that's one way. And there are people who really, I don't know, it's the full moon maybe. Here, listen to our callers. Here are some very respectful callers.
I've listened to numerous shows, and I must say there's something very attractive and very charismatic and enjoyable, to say the least. I really enjoy it. There's a tremendous amount of knowledge, intelligence, and it is really a great forum. However, my concern is each sect in Klal Yisrael, each neighborhood or each community has their rabbi, is not something to be taken lightly. It's the idea that us as humble and Talmidim and young people or old people, but people that don't have the experience and are not qualified to be Rabbonim, we have to listen and not ask questions about what our rabbi says.
Hey, Rabbi Lichtenstein, really appreciate your show. I think it's very educational. I learned a lot from it, very insightful. I just wanted to say this week's show about abuse, I think, was really inappropriate. And me, as a entire, really, I felt I really shouldn't be listening to it. Thanks so much. I look forward to your next show.
Hi, I was just listening to the radio show about Satmar and Zionism, and I must say, as an outsider, I was really, it was unreasonable, like, the way you had two sides, and then one of them you had so much respect for, and then the other one you just argued with, and stopping in the middle of his words, and not finishing what he had to say. And just basically, like, not even letting him get his point across. So you can't play favoritism when you make a debate. It has to be totally equal. All right. Thank you for your work. Bye.
And here are some people who, you know, believe that if you don't agree with them, is what they say.
Fei! Käufer! Fei! Geh zurück zum Gehenem jetzt! Käufer!
Käufer! Hi, I was just wondering if Rav David Lichtenstein Machshmei V'Zichrei was behind the Supreme Court's ruling today.
I'm sure there's hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be fuming and they're going to care about the B'Zayin HaTorah of some British ox-fed like you, people with Vazet HaTorah, which is what you said.
This is a message for the reincarnation of Moses Mendelssohn, a son who appears named David Lichtenstein, who thinks he can zalzel and chazal and all the gedolim, a pure golem and apikayrus.
I know many, many bachurim that listen to the show, and it can mamish have a bad hashpah on bachurim. So you're fairly chazak. I hold miyad. You have to stop saying lashon hara barabim. Shlech chazak rabim genug. Stop it.
Hi, Rabbi David. I just listened to a show of yours. The mamish got me so sick that I think you're borderline kafir.
Really think that you're not going to go to Gehenna for this?
So we will be speaking about something that's very important for Jews, because Jews disagree a lot, right? So how do we disagree? Now let's, and the second part of the program will be about halacha. Can you destroy property? Can you stop people from going to weddings? We'll hear Jonathan Rosenblum say, there are no people by the weddings. If there's a demonstration, they can come a few hours late. Nobody. I have a daughter. She lives in Eretz Yisrael. Her husband's in Kail. She works. So she couldn't get to her job one day. They were protesting. Are there halachas? Because I agree, it's Yerivol Yavar Shmat. Put your favorite adjective in here. Basically, it's do whatever you'd like. We'll have Yosef Fleischman. And we will have also somebody from Pelig discussing that. But Yosef Fleischman is the head of the largest Chayshim Mishpat Kail in Eretz Yisrael. He trains more Dayanim in Chayshim Mishpat than anybody in the world, certainly in authority. And next question is, you know, Klal Yisrael, we have a big history of disagreements, right? In fact, the Gemara says that a Bezdin, that's in unanimity, they all agree, Kulei Chayiv, what's the halacha? The person is Pata, because if the Bezdin doesn't have a disagreement, that means they really haven't been thinking. How does that quote go? If two of us are thinking alike, one of us isn't thinking. That's what Chazal sort of says. Case where it's a Bezdin. So we have a history of disagreement. So what damage does it do? So let's disagree. Call your favorite, or in this case, unfavorite, Haredi who goes to the army, a Nazi, lie down on the road. Does it do, or is that in our Messiah to have debate? We will have an interview with Peleg spokesman Reb Chaim Aaron Tambor, and we will discuss this with him as well. And the last thing I want to discuss, what can you do about it? If you've seen the pictures of Eretz Yisrael, the videos of people lying in the streets, etc., the screaming, ambulances being stopped, what can you do about it? That is today's program. So I'd like to start with, what are the protocols of Machlokes? I mean, you had a really big disagreement with, put in, your mother-in-law, your wife, your spouse, your child, your father-in-law, your partner, your chavrusa. Is it okay, let's open up the floodgates. What did Chazal say about it? Here's interesting. Who are two of the most biggest balei machlokes in the world? I mean, just for the sheer how it's affected us, is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And what does it say about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Beis Shammai said that a tzaras erva is mutter to the achim. And Beis Hill holds the children are mamzerim. Talk about a disagreement. One of many, many disagreements they had. And what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah in Yevamah, standard Perek Aleph. The Mishnah say, even though they really disagreed about whether you're a mamzer or not, somewhat of a disagreement. What does it say? Even though elu matarim, the elu matamim, leinimnu oisin taharis elu al gabe elu, they would marry each within families. They would marry. They wouldn't marry the one who they held was a mamzer, but other people they would. What does that mean? I disagree with you, but I still respect you, and I could still do a shidduch with you. Tuma and Tara, we would still eat from each other. We would still live together. In fact, what does the Gemara say about the Gemara in Yevamah say about them? It says, Chiba v'reidus na'igim zebezeh, love and friendship was among them. L'kayim ha'shenemar ha'emes v'hashalayim ohavu. They agreed, just like two chavrusas, they disagree vehemently. And what does it say? They start out as enemies and they become friends because it's not about personal. We're having a hashkafa disagreement. I don't call you names. Nothing personal. I don't attack you. And the Mishnah says, what the Mishnah Avi says, what's the example of a machlokes that's l'shem shemayim? Machlokes of Hillel v'Shammai. V'she'enu l'shem shemayim, machlokes kairach v'adasei. So the Yaris Dvash, the great Rebbe Reb Yonason, who knew a thing or two about machlokes, says something beautiful. He says, if a machlokes leads, how do you know if a machlokes is l'shem shemayim? He says, if at the end of the machlokes, we can still love each other, like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, then you know it's l'shem shemayim. Because if you have one hashkafa, and I have another, and I understand that you're l'shem shemayim, and I said, so we can disagree, but we still love each other. But a machloekis shalei l'shem shemayim is where respect is lost. It's about my ego versus your ego. My Kabbalah is bigger than, my Rebbe is bigger than yours, my Reshiva. So what does the Yaris Dvash say? That is the sign that it's a machloekis shalei l'shem shemayim. Two people have an argument and then they disrespect each other. You know what that means? That means one of them is not having a machloekis l'shem shemayim. So we do have protocols for disagreement. I can really, 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 really disagree with you, and I really should, because I was born with a different parts of, with different attributes, with a whole different view of the world. I do, and you know what? And chibo yisera, I can marry within your family. I can eat. That is the sign of that is the protocol of machlekes. And let me share with you something. The Yad Shol, Rabbi Yisrael Nutanzam, who was the greatest Paisik in Galicia, or in Poland, that part of Poland in the world. This is the end of the 1800s. He asked an interesting question. He says, the Gemara says, why do we paskin like Beis Hill and not like Beis Shammai? So the Gemara says, because Beis Hill, they were very humble. And they were always magdim divrei Beis Shammai ledivreim. They always put Beis Shammai's words in front of their own. So the Yad Shol says, you know, that's fantastic if it's a Yidus contest. If you're looking who is more edel, well, you could say the guy who's magdim the other person's words, who's more humble. But this isn't a contest about edel. It's a contest about who's right halachically. So the Yad Shol says, and I think it's an obvious answer, he says, the person who's willing to listen more and really dig into what the other side's saying, right? What does it say? Ezu chacham haloymed mikol adam. That is the person who will ultimately be more correct. If you can listen to somebody who strongly disagrees with you and listen respectfully and hear every word and be magd, how do I know it's respectfully? Because you're magd in their words? You know what? You're going to be smarter for that. And that's why, by the way, on this program, we have everybody. We have all kinds of machlekes in halacha, hashkafa, we bring everybody. And the idea is that you listen and listen, listen, listen till the end. And at the end, you'll make a much wiser decision. And, you know, I'm in business. I deal a lot of times with CEOs. The wisest, smartest people, they sit in meetings, they don't say anything, they just ask questions, and they listen, listen, listen. Everybody's yelling their opinions, and the chacham, the kol d'mama daka, he's listened to everything, and he said, with all the information, this is my decision. But you can only do that if you've heard everything. So there is a protocol to machlokes. It's with respect, it's with chiba, and to be mechabed person even more. The person were to go now, what did Bill Gates, certainly one of the wisest people who ever lived, say? He said, you learn more from the one customer who's unhappy than from the 99 who agree with you. That's what it says about Beis Hillel. You know why we pass in like Beis Hillel? They were magdim divrei Beis Shammai ledivrei. That's what the Yad Shul says. Okay, so now I want to go into the part of this. There's a big machlokes in Eretz Yisrael, which unfortunately has made the news, YouTube. I mean, you just can't avoid it. People lying down in the street, stopping cars. I have a daughter who lives in Eretz Yisrael. She said she couldn't go to work one day. I mean, Rosenblum is going to say how he went to a wedding. Nobody was there. Nobody showed up by the wedding because everybody was blocked in the traffic. So here's my question. We have a disagreement. Rav Chachmei Yisrael are on one side, according to Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblum. It's something like 90-2. I don't know. I don't keep box scores yet. But it's certainly a Rav Gamma, right? It's a real Rav. And we have one group on the other side who disagree. So what is the halacha? I'm going to throw at you a philosophical and a halachic shaila. Let me quote you. The Gemara says, Torah says, that if there's one Zakin who doesn't listen to the rest of Klal Yisrael, he's called a Zakin Mamre. He's a Zakin, he's a heretic, and he's punished. They kill him, right? The Gemara says, the biggest Tan of his generation was Rebbe Lazar, and in the case of Taner Shalachnoi, that was a case of Gemara and Brachas, they argued over a Taner Shalachnoi, very complicated in Hilchos Tumas and Taras, and it was all the Chachmei Yisrael on one side, and him on the other side. And he said, the whole heavens agree with me. The malachim, the angels, Hashem agrees with me. And they said, no, the halach is like us. There's no Torah by Shemayim. And he said, if I'm correct, let the walls of the Beis Medrash bow. And they did. And Hachamim said, no, it's still Yachid V'Rabim, Malachik V'Rabim, listen to us. He said all kinds of miracles he did. They didn't listen. And they said, Rebbe Lazar, if you don't back down, we're going to put you in Nidoi. And he didn't. And they put him in Nidoi. It's called Taner Shalachnoi. Tana that was surrounded by vitriol. The Gemara says, who was the Chacham HaGadol B'Dairei? Was the Kavya Bein Mahal. They wanted to make him Rosh Hashiva in Yavna after Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai left. This is the Mishnah at the end of Adias. And he disagreed with the Chachamim on four halachas, very complex. Tumah and Tara is Dam Shel Yorek, is it Metame? The Mishnah says four different, really very, you know, difficult, complex, and Tumas Vataris is one of the cases where he agreed, you know, in Taris, right? So the Mishnah says, Akavya Bein Mahal, four things he was made. He says, I'm telling you, I'm a witness, I saw. So they told him, Akavya, you have to, it's you, you can't argue with all the Chachamim in Klal Yisrael. We'll make you to have Bezdin here in Yavna. So what did he say? He said, Mutav Shani Kaira Shaita Kol Yamai. Better they should call me a Shaita and Loy Lasei's Rosh Achas Lefnei Amakim. And not to be a Rosh for 1 second in front of Hashem and not to do what I believe. Right? So what did they do? They put him in Nidui. They excommunicated him. And what does the Mishnah say? Meis B'Niduya. He died in excommunication. The Saklu Arainai. That's the koyach of Achrei Rabin Lahatis. We have to follow. This is one side of the equation. And the other side of the equation is the Gemara in Shabbos. It's Gemara in Yevamos too, I think. Gemara in Shabbos. It's on Daf Kuf Lamed. I don't remember where it is in Yevamos. The Gemara says that that Rebbe Lezer held that Machshirei Mila are also Doicha Shabbos. So it says, in the town of Rebbe Lezer, how you curse in Eitzim B'Shabbos last Chamim. They would cut the wood on Shabbos to make coals, to make the knife, the ismal of meal on Shabbos. They were machal Shabbos, the mekaymei, right? And then it says b'mekaymei shel Reb Yaisi. The Gemara says b'mekaymei shel Reb Yaisi. He didn't believe that chicken and milk are unkosher. He has a pasuk. I think it says he darshened it from chalev ima. He says and a chicken doesn't have milk. I think that's what the Gemara says, right? The Gemara says b'mekaymei. They let him alone, as the Gemara says, and in both cities, people live long lives, the Gemara says. Why? Because a Gadol Hadar is allowed a paskin the way he sees fit. That's it. So on one hand, you have the concept of Zakin Mamre. On the other hand, you have the concept of, You see, they put Rabbi Eliezer Tanu Shel Achnayi Nidai. They put Akavya Ben Mahal the Gadladar Nidai. And the other time, we say Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi were allowed to do what they wanted, B'mekayman. So there's two Mahalchim in the Rishonim and Achrayim. Some say that in the case of, and why is this relevant? You have, you know, a few Rabbanim, very few, who say, look, we think that this is a Gzeres Hashmat, blah, 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 et cetera, what to do. And you have the Rav Chachma Yisrael that are on the other side. What do we do? So there's a different Mahalchim in the Achrayim. Some say he only did it B'mekayme. You know, if you want to have your shul, your yeshiva, and you say, look, this is our Kabbalah, this is our Messiah, this is what we do, that's fine. But when you want a darshan for Klal Yisrael, that already they put him in Nizai. The case of Rebbe Levi is darshan for Klal Yisrael. Zaken Mamre is on Bezdin, it's for Klal Yisrael. The case of Akavya Beit Mahal was also for all of, he wasn't doing it B'mekayme. In the case of Rebbe Levi, Rebbe Yossi was B'mekayme. That's one Mahalach, which would create a problem today because clearly this is not B'mekayme in all these demonstrations. And the other mahalach that they say is, it's where it's nimnu v'gamru, where all the hachamim came together and they voted on it. And one guy says, no, not me, I'm out of here. In that case, he would be put in nidu, which is the case of Rebbe Lezer by Tana Shalachnoi, which is the case of Zaken Mamre. And in this case, it would be problematic. Do we say there's a nimnu v'gamru? You could say, listen, they wasn't. There's actually a tshuva sarajba. We say achre rabim lahatis. And the Sefer Achinuch Paskins that Achri Rabim Lahatis is also Bizman Hazeh. It's mitzvah ayin ches. He says noyig b'kol makayim u'b'kol zman b'scharim v'nekeves b'chiras roiv l'fi adzoyma. He says that's the halakha where there's machloikis b'chachmas ha'toyra between great chachamim, where they're equal or in the same stature. He says hadin noisin shalay nasser mi derech chayiv. We follow the majority, which is the same in our law. Since our English law, it's the same thing here. Here in America, he says we have to, as a community, we have to follow majority. That's what the Torah says. Achrei rabim. So it's interesting that the Beis Yosef brings a Rajba, and the Rajba says that the whole din is only when they sat together and they discussed it. Right? Where one heard the tainess of the other. So the question would be, Beis Yosef is in Chesed Mishpat Siman Yamin Gimel. I don't know. That's a question you could ask today. I mean, there's newspapers. Everybody sort of knows the other side. Is that called where they had a discussion or not? I don't know the answer. I leave that to you. What do you say, Achrei Rabim Lahatis? In other words, the idea being, the way I read it is, you can't say Achrei Rabim Lahatis. If somebody lives in Pechurch and he says, look, I have, this is how I understand the Gemara. There's other people. They don't. Maybe if they heard my position, they would change their position. That's what the Rishonim say here, the Rajba. So now the question would be, in a time where there's a lot of messages back and forth, and there's press and Sfarim, would you say that it's considered that they each know each other's tainus or not? If it is, then you would have a real problem of Achrei Rabim Lahatis. If not, so those are the two ways how they address. In the case of where B'mekayman, you could say either because they didn't sit with everybody else, so there wasn't B'makam Echad, so they just didn't know each other's arguments. Or you could say they didn't want to be Mashpia on all of Klal Yisrael. And I think that's relevant to the Machloikas today. Now, here's interesting. Here's a fascinating clip from the Gadol HaDor, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Stipler's son. Here's what he says about this faction.
ואמר שאין שום בעיה להצביע למפלגת עץ, כיוון שיש בשמה אודום גודל, כיוון שיש להם אודום גודל שעומד בראשום, וזה לא נקרא פגיע בראשי ורבן ליב, שאומר להצביע ג' רצינו לשאול מה דייטוי של הרב.
מה זה מפלגת עץ? המפלגה השנייה, לא של הרב שטיימן, של ירושלים.
תגיד להם שזוק ממרם.
שזוק ממרם, זאת אומרת, זה כנגד דייטוי של הראשי, אפילו שזה כמו מחלקת שמה ובסילל.
מגיע לו סקילה.
ומה זה שונה ממחלקת שמה ובסילל?
Now, Reb Chaim doesn't issue words. He writes very, I've written him, he writes four-word answers back. When he says the word Zaken Mamre, he much means Zaken Mamre. Now, the problem is that the Rambam says Zaken Mamre is only Noig Bizbana Bezdin. I was curious, Reb Chaim, is he just using it like a euphemism? It's not like him. So I did a little research, and there's actually a tshuva from Reb Moshe Feinstein. This is a Chesh Mishpat Chelik Bei Simin Aleph, where Reb Moshe brings the Yerushalmi that says clearly, it's talking about a Zman of the Gemara, Shmuel, and Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, and Shmuel Bar Marsa, and he says that there is a din of Zakin Mamre in the time of the Gemara, clearly when it's not Bezdin, right? And the Shailos HaTshuvos HaRosh, there's a Chiddushei Ramban, and Reb Moshe says, yes, there is a concept of Zakin Mamre Bizman Hazeh. So Reb Chaim is very interesting. He seems to be paskening that A, there's a concept of Zakin Mamre Bizman Hazeh. Second of all, Zakin Mamre means you don't actually have to, the way he's learning Pshat on the Rajba, you don't have to be sitting in one place with everybody else. But if you're very aware of my position, and I'm very aware of your position, and you would go against the Rav, the vast majority of the Rav, he said it would have a din of Zakin Mamre. And I think that's just a very interesting psak. This is obviously a very broad inyan. I will give a chabura on a Shabbos. If you're in Muncie, you could come Grand Park, Shul. Almost every topic we do, I do an hour before Mincha. And I was Shul on the corner of Grand Park, Grandview. It's usually around an hour and a half before Shkia every Shabbos day. If you're ever in the area, you're invited. Let's go to our guests. We're going to start with the head of the largest Chayshim Mishpat Kohel in Eretz Yisrael, the way it was told to me, Hagoyin Reb Yosef Fleischman. We have on the phone with us from Eretz Yisrael, Hagoyin Reb Yosef Fleischman. He's the Rosh Kohel of the Kohel Chayshim Mishpat in Yerushalayim. Welcome, Reb Fleischman.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to join your program.
So, Rabbi Fleischman, I want to ask you a number of Chayshim Mishpat Shailas that are relevant in regard to the slew of Hafganis that are going on in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say you have a psak from your Rosh Yeshiva, and he says, it's a Gzeres Hashmad, and therefore you have to go protest. And you go out and you protest. Now, are you allowed to damage people, third parties, for your hafganas? Because you say, listen, it's Gzeres Hashmad, it's Pikuach Nefesh, and, you know, Ha'olach Lahatzil is Potter from Nezek, and therefore I can damage, I can break, I can stop cars, businesses, break windows. What would be the halacha if as a dying, how would you paskin this?
I don't think there's any heter really to break other people's property. A person can, who is holach lahatzil, it's only if it's damaged and it sort of comes in the way and you need to damage it, then you can't just go ahead because your holach lahatzil starts throwing stones at people's windows because you're holach lahatzil.
But what about stop? If they believe that the way they can protest is by stopping traffic, and assuming that stopping traffic would be an isser, a mazik of garmi, etc., just let's do it as a possibility, would he be able to say, listen, this is the direct way I'm being matzel by causing a big ruckus, and therefore I'm mahaloch lahatzel, and therefore I can stop planes from going off, I can stop people from getting into the airport, whatever it is, what would you feel about that?
I mean, it's also very a very far-fetched comparison, because mahaloch lahatzel, you see direct results in front of you. Here's someone who someone's, let's say, running after him, trying to kill him, and you're going and you're actually saving him. As the issue is right now, it's imminent, and you can see that that's what you're doing. Here, it's not clear at all that you're actually going to accomplish anything, and therefore it's quite far-fetched to say so and to compare it for it. And also, some of these people are, you know, very innocent in that, because put pressure, so you can find some other way of putting pressure.
Okay.
And about your point that you are causing other people down, it's definitely true. There are people who are losing salaries because of it, and there's a din called by Adam Amazik, so the Chabish Advar, one of the Chabish Advar is Shabbos. Shabbos is when you make it that a person can't work, injure someone, and therefore he can't work. So if a person, Gemara says, you can also have Shabbos without Nezek, but the Baba Kama says it's possible to have Shabbos without Nezek. And the Gemara says, if you lock someone in a room and prevent him from going out and doing his work, so then you can be Chayav on Shabbos. So there's a Machlokes Mishonim, the Rambam the Rosh says is only if you put him in the room and lock him up in the room. And the Rambam's Rosh is not really so clear. The Rambam doesn't say they have to push him into the room. So, but in any case, even if you say, so if it's Shevis, so it's Mamish Echiv Mamon directly, a Shevis bottom. And if it's not Shevis, so there'll be at least Bichayev B'dinei Shabayim because of Dami. The Ramban says it's even more than Gami, because the regular case of Shevis is more than Gami because it brings Bashar Abayah, because Gami is Machokis Tanon. Rabbi Meir says Yechai for Gami, and there are Tanon that don't agree with Rabbi Meir, but Shevis Bodom, which is the Gemara's case, we prevent someone from working. So then, according to everyone, Yechayev. So Ramban says must be that's more than Gambi. And so he explains as even it's called the Hezek Nikar because the Hezek starts right now. But that's what Ramban says. But so therefore, certainly there are people around who are losing salaries, and even if the person gets a salary, so you're causing a loss to the employer because the employer has to pay someone for a time that the person is not working. And that would probably fall under the category of Mazik Shibura Shachadeva because he has a Shibura on the worker to work, and you're making it that the worker can't work. So there's a Sivis that says such a thing that would be like a Mazik Shibura Shachadeva. So therefore, you are causing a Hezek, and it could be that you Chayav B'Din Adam, and Mazik Shibura Shachadeva is also Chayav B'Din Adam, and certainly a person could be Chayav B'Din Shemayim. So a person certainly has to think that it could be his Chayav money to people.
Now, clearly those who do the Hafganis, they seem to have a Heta. I don't know what it is. But, you know, there is some history of Hafganis in Yerushalayim that goes back to the Safmarov, etc. Even I don't know if in those cases they were stopping people from going to work and blocking roads. Is it possible that they hold that the din of a Hailach Lahatzel is even if it's not Be'idne, even if it's delayed, there would be some Svar of a Hailach Lahatzel? Let me put it to you this way, Rabbi Fleischman. Let's assume this just for the purpose of Lundis, that they believe that what they're doing is helping. Right? And I don't, but I'm just for the purpose of Lundis, right? And they said, look, the only way to do it is to do it this way. And yes, it's not Be'idne. It's going to happen. It's going to take 10 protests. We're going to block all the highways. We're going to stop ambulances from going through. We're going to disrupt all commerce. So the only way to do it is this way. So would that be have a din of a Hailach Lahatzel? In other words, if we were to compare it to a regular case of Hailach Lahatzel, let's say somebody was going to kill somebody, and the only way to stop him was in advance doing something, Shaloi Be'idne, but that we believed would cause him to stop. You knew somebody was going to kill somebody,
right.
And you said,
if
you had Ruach HaKodesh, you had he sent an email out that tomorrow or next month at 2:00 he's going to kill somebody, and the only way to do it is by protesting in front of his house a month in advance so that he can. Would you say and to cause a hezek? If this Shiloh came to you in Beis Din afterwards and they said we knew that he sent an email and 30 days from now he was going to be mazeh, he was going to kill somebody, we were a Hailach Lahatzel, so for 30 days in a row we protest in his house and we block traffic, would you make these people pay for those 30 days damage, or would you say you're a Hailach Lahatzel?
Don't really know. On the person, first of all, it says that a person threatens that he's going to do something. And he threatens to do it, so you don't always believe that a lot of threats. The Gemara says people threaten things and they don't carry them out. And in this case, it's certainly not clear cut that anything's going to happen. I mean, they passed laws and laws have been struck down. In the meantime, you know, nothing happened to anyone, and it's not clear that anything will happen to anyone. So it is certainly, and you see, even by someone like a Moshe, which it certainly is possible, if you know for sure that the person himself is holy limso someone, so you can be mazik him before.
The Shulchan Aruch and Shin Peches, the Mechaber and Shin Peches.
Right. But if he just threatens to do it, so and it's not obvious that he's going to carry out his threat, so we say no. So here's a case which is quite far removed. It's not the first time I'm trying to draft Yeshiva Bochum. This has been going on for 60 years, and nothing happened Bochum some so far. So therefore, it's very distantly removed. You have all kinds of intimate salomas. Intimate salomas, that's going to happen, and the person's going to go to Amin, they're going to be making shmadim, which is also not, a lot of people go to the army, a lot of people have gone to the army and come out yatzim b'shalom from the army. So these are all a bunch of intimate salomas.
Would you equate this, Rabbi Fleischman, would you equate this to the tshuva of the Nei Zebiuda, who says, you can't go to medical school on Shabbos. Maybe one day you'll save a life. He said, I'm sorry. That doesn't rise to the level of Pikuach Nefesh, because one day something would happen. Would you
right. It's true in the Ligas Moshos about that. But the person can say that he wants to. I would think that something like that, probably.
Okay, now let me ask you.
Just like you wouldn't let a kohen go to medical school and say that, Rabbi Moshe is true, but you wouldn't tell a kohen that he can go to medical school and be in the Talmud of Mason because everyone is going to be say someone's life.
Well, except that in that case, you can always have a different doctor. Here they're saying they're the only people who are going to do it.
Yeah, okay.
What would you say, Rabbi Fleischman? Is there a din of Achrei Rabim Lahatois Bizman Azeh? If you have, 95 Rabbanim saying something, and there's 5 Rabbanim who pass in the other way. Is there a din of Achrei Rabim Lahatos?
Probably not, because no one sits down and talks with each other. It says even in Bezdin, that the halacha is, as Sidis mentioned, that they have to talk to each other, that they either hear a case together, and then they sit down together, and then they decide. Here, you're 95%, you're 5% who decided who's going to be of the 95, who's going to join your whatever, sort of your Sanhedrin, that you're going to decide who's the role. That's maybe the 95% is just not going to be under Sanhedrin, the 5% are. So it's very difficult to say such a thing. They're all by Poskim, so there is such a thing. And there's also a concept even by Poskim, certain Poskim carry more weight than others do. So you can't just say that because someone has had a smicha or because he was hired to be a rabbi in the yeshiva, that he's necessarily a posek.
Rabbi Fleischman, let me ask you, we find, in my opinion, the stira in the Gemara. The Gemara says, we have a concept of a zakein mamre, a zakein who doesn't listen. And there is a tape, I've heard the tape where the stipler of Chaim Kanievsky calls one of the parties here a zakein mamre. And there's Yerushalmi that says that there's a zakein mamre bizman hazeh. There's a Tshuva Sarosh that says there's a zakein mamre bizman hazeh. The Gris Moshe names on for a pashtus that says there's a zakein mamre bizman hazeh. The Zakin, who's basically a sort of a heretic, who goes against Rav Kval Yisrael. We also have, the Gemara says, by Akavya ben Mahal, the Mishnah says, he refused to listen to the Chachamim. So what did they do? They put him into Cherem, and when he died, Saklu Arayne, they threw stones at his Aron. He maced Benidoy the Saklu Arayne. We have in the case of Taner Shalachnai, where Rebbe Lezer didn't want to go along with everybody, so what did they do? They put him in Cherem. So you see that they said, we don't want to have one person disrupting all of Klal Yisrael. Mitzad Sheni, yeah. The Gemara in Shabbos says on Daf Kof Lamed that Rebbe Lezer believed that Machshirei Mila Doicha Shabbos, so therefore Kirsten ate him. He would allow the city to cut wood, to make coals, to be able to make an Ismail on Shabbos.
But the Gemara says that in his place it's okay to do.
Right.
Okay.
And the Gemara says, and the same thing with Reb Yaisi, that Reb Yaisi says that that he was matir milk together with oif, because he darshin chalev imay, and a chicken doesn't have anything. So b'mkaymay, they ate chicken kachitori, or whatever, chicken with cheese chicken burgers. And so my question would be is, how come, you're an Adam Gadol, so you could paskin. So how come in some times Chazal said, look, you're paskining, you're a nidoy, and some places they allowed it? How would you explain that, Stira?
I would think that it depends, really, because in these cases, there was no, but he was the rabbi of this town, and so he paskened in his town this way, and no one, you know, no one else was the rabbi in the town. There's a big difference between whether, if you're the rabbi in Tzoria, so you're going to paskin in Tzoria like this, but if you have an issue that involves, you know, 1,000 communities, so you can't say that in your community you'll do like this. That's so in those cases where a person would be a zokimami is a person where he's not confined to a certain tzibur. He's saying something to everyone, and other people are also talking about everyone, so therefore they're basically in a direct conflict with the cases, like you mentioned, they were the resident of Yossi Aglin. So they were in their town, and they were the rabbi, and no one else was you know, of comparable stature to them. So therefore, they're justified in paskening the way they held. You know, and it was very, you know, it was very grounded. It was based on drushes. These were huge people. I think in the other case where they put Libby, like in the case of the Blazer, so it was a psak, you know, of everyone, and they sat down together and they discussed it and they didn't agree with him.
Now, Rabbi Fleischman, in the protests that are going on in Yerushalayim, is a yeshiva bacha allowed to join them, or would he have a din of a machal shem shemayim?
Oh, I think the majority of the people think that it's considered to be a chilul Hashem, because the Gemara says, the Gemara sort of almost talks exactly about such a thing. The Gemara in Yuma says, and what's called a chilul Hashem. So the Gemara says that
Hechidam chilul Hashem. Yeah.
And then Abaye said, "Ketanigo after Shem Okecha Sheishem Shemaim Eshava Yot Chashid Sheyehei Torah V'Shemim Shalom Tam Yichom." That person should learn and learn Chumash, learn Mishnayos, be Mishamash Tamei Chum, Yom Asar Matan Abinachas and Abiyas. He does business honestly and properly. Abiyas almost love Asher Rabbi Shalom the Torah. Asher Rabbi Shalom the Torah. People, general populace who see such a person are going to say his parents should be happy that this boy learned Torah, and his Rebbe, they taught him Torah. Oilam Abiyas Shalom the Torah. When the people say that this is not the right way to go, so basically, you see that it's very much based on the impression that you leave with other people. And I think most people in Eretz Yisrael and in the world who see such behavior aren't coming away saying that Ashrei Avos Shalom Torah, Ashrei Rabba Shalom Torah. They more say Oyel Torah Shalom Torah. People will be turned off. I mean, the general populace. If someone is stuck in traffic for 2 hours just because someone decided they wanted to demonstrate, he's not going to probably be very happy, and he's not going to think that, yeah, now I'm going to send my son to yeshiva, and that's what's going to be of him.
Rabbi Fleischman, if somebody were to give Maisa to a yeshiva that, you know, sent the Bachram out to protest, would you hold that, two questions, would you hold he's Mekayim and Mitzvahs, is he Mekayim Tzedakah? Or alternatively, would you say he has a din of a Machzik Yedei Ovrei Avera? Because the Gemara says, the same Gemara on Daf Peivav in Yuma that you're quoting says, that Chilul Hashem is one of the things that are not Nischap or even on Yom Kippur. It's only Nischap of a Misa. It's in many ways it's as Chamur as the Gimel Chamuris as Avodah Zarah, Gilei Rayin, Shiras Damim. Would you say somebody is A, Mekayim Maisa, or they would have to be Mafrish more Tzedakah, it cannot be Nichnas into the Maisa? And B, would you say they have a din of a Machzik Yedei Ovrei Avera?
The first question, I would think that person is still Mekayim Maisa, because you are helping people to learn. But if a person learns that you don't know for sure that what's going to be. I mean, hopefully, it says that even if a person learns Torah, I'm sure a lot of people didn't go out and demonstrate, even if they went to such yeshivas. And so therefore, I don't think that a person could tell them that you're not the kind of dinner sucker by giving money to the yeshiva. However, the fact that machzidel there, it is something to think about because if that's the policy of the yeshiva, and he thinks that's not, and that his rav tells him that this is an avera, so in a chanami tzad, he should give his money to a place which doesn't send the people out to demonstrate, and probably that's what he does anyway.
All right, Fleischman, thank you very much for sharing your valuable time with us.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity, and wish you luck for that.
Amen, cult of.
Okay.
We have on the phone with us, from Eretz Yisrael, I believe it's from Yerushalayim, the famous writer and biographer, Jonathan Rosenblum. In fact, I'm proud to say my wife is the granddaughter, the youngest granddaughter of Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, Mr. Mendelowitz, and Jonathan did the English translation. I don't know if it was a translation.
No, not a translation. No.
Okay, of the English book about the biography of Rav Shraga Feivel. So it's an honor to have you on with us. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you, Doris.
So as both as an ethicist, as a writer, as somebody who has their hands very much on the pulse of the current generation, in particular in Israel and Eretz Yisrael, where you reside, could you explain to us here in America what's so bad about these demonstrations? I mean, Jews have such a long history of debate. It goes back to the beginning of time. And Fakeret, the Gemara says that Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Mechadadim Zeh Zeh Bahalacha. It's like it sharpens their swords. If you play chess against the master, you become a good chess player. And if you play against, a mediocre or a poor player, your chess game never gets better. So in Divrei Halacha, we've always encouraged debate, and yet there seems to be a tremendous amount of acrimony against Peleg about what's going on here. What is the damage? What's wrong with it?
Well, first of all, let's make a distinction between debate and demonstrations. What do demonstrations have to do with debate? Rabbi Yigal Rosen, the Rosh Hashiva of Or Yisrael, said this week in his Shir Psicha. I mean, he's this person who's accompanied by police guards when he travels to his son-in-law's house in Bnei Brak, who's had demonstrations outside of his house from the so-called Peleg Yerushalmi. He said, "Well, come tell me what are you complaining about? Let's hear what your complaints are. Try and explain to us what you think has happened. What are your facts? Lay them out on the table. You want to debate? Come and debate." These demonstrations aren't about debate. There's no intellectual argument in violence. I mean, every single Gadol b'Yisrael, every single one, Rav Eliashiv, Rav Shach, when they were, Zichronim Levracha, when they were talking about demonstrations, everything that ever was done was on Tanai, that there not be violence, that they not incite violence. What possible justification for this is there? I mean, I only hear it from, I haven't talked to any secular Jews about what they think about this, except what I read in the newspapers. But I'm talking about the average Haredi who's stuck in traffic, who may be on the way to the hospital, who may be on the way, has clients that he has to get to and misses 2 hours of clients because he's stuck in a traffic jam, who's on the way to Hasana. I've been at Hasanas where no one showed up for 2 hours because there was a demonstration outside of Bnei Brak. And they're so filled with anger. I mean, so outraged. Why don't the police clear them away faster? Why don't they stick them in jail longer? If that's how people in the Haredi world react to finding themselves stuck in traffic and endlessly, except when they have a chasana coming up at night, let's say the Shirat Junction, which is on the way to Kiryat Sefer, demonstrations for days on end. But as soon as one of the members of this kat are going to have a chasana in Kiryat Sefer, suddenly there's not a demonstration, so people can get to that chasana. So, first of all, the outrage that it creates, what it makes us look like in the eyes of the bigger Klal Yisrael. I told somebody, I'm very involved in an organization called called Kesher Yehudi, which goes on to makes one of the major things. It sets up kavrusas between frum and non-frum Jews. It's not the only organization like that, but 6,000 kavrusa pairs, and it's working with the pre-induction academies with 600 kids a year. But I said, why do we have to spend half of our time trying to answer questions about this? Why should this be the agenda? Why can't we can't talk about Torah? We have to we start with explaining away this violence and what it's about, and it's inexplicable. And
so, would you say it sounds to me like you say it's a type of terrorism almost? We will not allow people to get to weddings. And it's only when it's our weddings, not when it's your weddings, not our. It's a type of terrorism, in effect.
Well, for sure, it's you know, even and you take whatever the cause would be, and no one knows what the cause is really. Like Rabbi Rosen said, let them come and tell me what are their time is. They say I am running a Hesder Yeshiva here. I'm running a Hesder Yeshiva. I mean, everyone knows that Or Yisrael is the strictest discipline of any yeshiva in the country, by far the strictest discipline of any yeshiva in the Lipish world. It is as far from a Hesder yeshiva, where every single boger of that yeshiva is in full-time learning 20 or 30 years later. To talk about this as a yeshiva Hesder, no one knows what their claims are. There's never any discussion of what the issue is. It's impossible to figure out what is their end game, because you can't figure out what it is. It seems to me.
Wait, but Jonathan, let's go back.
Yeah.
Is this doing to the Kiruv movement in Eretz Yisrael?
You know, I don't have statistics on it. I mean, I'll give you a Hashara from the point of view. There's amazing things that happen in Kiruv. There are amazing things. Sometimes something will be Madlik and Neshama, and you would think that there was no chance of anything happening after a certain negative publicity about the community, and still people become frum and people are interested in knowing more about Yiddishkeit. And there is, I will say, most of the media, when they cover this group, they call them the extreme, the Peleg HaYerushalmi, but even the secular public may be under the misapprehension that they represent a large percentage of the Lithuanian community. They represent a small percentage.
How small?
I would guess, in terms of a major Talmidei Chachamim, 2% in the percentage of followers, maybe 10%. I don't think it's larger than that.
So what damage is it doing either to Kirov? And let me give you a quote. This is from Rabbi Yaakov Drulman, Rashiv of Beis Yosef Devardik.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he has the Kabbalah that the Haskalah movement in Europe,
mm-hmm.
which before Haskalah began was basically 100% of Jews were Orthodox, and in post Haskalah today, sadly, we're 10%. So we lost 90% of Klal Yisrael. He says he has the Kabbalah that one of the prime drivers of that allowed Haskalah to get off the ground, was the machlokes between Rabbi Yonis and Ipshus and Rabbi Yankif Emden, that he says that there was such vitriol created, and it created such a laughing stock. It was mashbil, Keren Shel Torah, that he said it just allowed people started looking at religion and saying it's a joke. And he said, and that was the and speaking to children today who see this, they look at you and they say, like, this is what people with beards and pay, and they look like the most religious people. I was actually spoke someplace recently, and a bunch of Frumma kids said to me, they said, we've lost all respect. And I said to them, I said, do you think Kairach had looked like some rocker? I guarantee you that Kairach had a long beard and very long payas, and he never left the house carrying anything but Sfarim in each hand.
You know,
I said, this is not represent. But I mean, my question to you is Rabbi Drulman said that this caused Haskalah, or was one of the primary drivers. Do you think that the Peleg HaYerushalmi, well, one day we will look back and say, how many children became Frey? how many children did not want to stay in learning, how many people, that's from in our community and external Talmud community, how it set the Kirov movement back a generation by they took some view that they believe in, maybe truly, and created damage that could last for generations. Just as Haskalitz, it's 250 years post-Mendelssohn, and we're still 90% religious. What's your feeling about that comment?
Well, I mean, without going into the history of Rabbi Drillman, for whom I have immense respect, but Rabbi Yeshua Eichenstein, who's a major Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, told me I was driving him to Bnei Brak, and he told me he has no question that there'll be 5,000 minimally korbonos just from the lack of when the idea of coveted Torah, when you had the machlokas between Rav Yonos and Ivshitz and Rav Yaakov Emden, so when major figures, you know, use the, you know, call each other, one, you know, to be called a Sabbatean and so forth, the pejoratives that were going around were, I know some of the historians attribute the rise of the Reform movement as well to that machlokas, but it doesn't, he told me, he said that there will be those korbanos. Certainly the idea of Das Torah, how does Das Torah survive when, you know, when you, with the types of pejoratives, the way that the disparagement of Gedolim, but this is not, by the way, this is not a new thing. I have to tell you that 20 years ago, Rav Avram Rabitz, who was an MK for a long time, the original Degela Torah representative, told me the greatest threat to Israel, I mean, he was exaggerating, this is a little bit of hyperbole, but he said, the greatest threat to our community today is the Yeter Neman. That was the Yeter Neman, which has now become the Pelos, but when everybody who was connected with it was thrown out, to create such a cynicism.
No, that's the mouthpiece. That is the mouthpiece of the Peleg. Is
the Peleg. That's Peleg. They were once...
The mouthpiece of Peleg was once the Ated before the current...
Before Shimon Glick bought them out and just bought the newspaper.
Yes.
And but they there's two things that they did. First of all, for 15 years, using minimal titles of kavod for Aaron Leib Steinman, for Mikkel Yehuda... Lefkowitz, for Rav Chaim Kanievsky, to deliberately be mashpil. I mean, this little punk, this propagandist editor who left the yeshiva at 18, despite him and a very rich father, to just find ways to dig away at any covet, except for his chosen gadol at that time, Rav Eliyashiv. But you know, to just minimize any titles of covet and so forth. That's destructive in and of itself. But the whole tone was always so critical. Avos Yisrael was absent. No Avos Yisrael. Everybody was subject to criticism. Everybody wasn't good enough. The new Haredim, it wasn't just the secular world. It was the new Haredim, anybody who went out to work, anybody who did anything that they were all just ridiculed and scorned and booze. And, you know, it's funny that people were put out to, you know, subject to such attacks for working, for instance, by a guy who went out to work when he was 18, or by a business manager of that who was a computer salesman before he came into the Yeter Neman. Nothing wrong with being a computer salesman, but how do you become the standard bearer of everybody should be learning forever and ever, and anyone who isn't is a failure and a disgrace and is bringing down our community? It's also that one of the big differences is, do you take responsibility for Klal Yisrael or not? I had a discussion on a flight back from America recently with somebody, a son of a Rosh Hashiva that I'm personally very close to, have been close to for almost 40 years. And he was in America collecting and spreading the propaganda that there are hundreds of boys sitting in jail and collecting money for these demonstrations. And I said to him, I said, where's your sense of responsibility? What's your big taina on Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, that he gave some tacit support to the Nachal Haredi? What are we supposed to do about boys who don't fit into the system? We're just supposed to say goodbye to them, wave them goodbye to anybody who isn't capable or doesn't fit in a system of full day learning forever. And it feels like he's entrapped in a system. There's nothing that can be done for them. There's nothing we should worry about. We just say goodbye. So he said, they destroyed Klal Yisrael. We worried about the weaker, the so-called weaker elements in our society, and that's destroyed us. Well, those weaker elements are a substantial percentage of the society. And if you want to keep them all in yeshiva, you want to keep everybody in yeshiva, you'll rot the yeshivas from inside. You're not going to get more Torah out of this. You'll get less Torah out of this. We're spending money to keep people in Kolel who, you know, if we take the Mitzuyanim, okay, this is a different subject. But I'm just saying the lack of concern for Klal Yisrael, once with respect to what is this, what is the image of Torah in the world? You know, I've written 10 biographies of Gedolei Torah. If there was one thing that unites all of them, it's their absolute focus on Kiddush Hashem in all situations and how you know, I remember in the Rav Shraga Feivel book, which is a long time ago, so I don't remember everything, but, you know, how makpid he was on students when they first came to the Beis Medrash Elyon, that no, people not be seen just lollygagging around during the war, you know, when other people, when they might have a deferment as divinity students, but not to be seen in some way that is going to cause pain to somebody whose son is off at the front or something. The sensitivity to other people's feelings, I don't see that there's any cheshbon about Klal Yisrael. What's going to be with Klal Yisrael? What's going to be with Kiruv? They don't cheshbon out their own kids. I mean, what happens to a 14-year-old kid? What happens to kids who are brought to demonstrations at 14, who are thrown into jail? What happens to a 17-year-old in jail? The late Rav Shlomo Papenheim, one of the leaders of the Ada, told me, we always oppose demonstrations, and one of the biggest reasons that we oppose demonstrations is the destructive impact of even one night in jail. And they talk about the people who are going to jail. The only ones who are going to jail are ones who were set up, who they set up to go to jail by not registering, by not having anything to do with registering for the draft. That way, if they get caught driving to Eilat, if they get caught speeding, if they get caught trying to leave, if they get caught doing anything else and they check and they see, oh, you didn't register for the draft, they're setting them up for jail just to prove themselves right. What is their end game? What are they trying to do?
So, Jonathan, do you understand? I mean, when somebody speaks to you, it sounds like a fringe lunatic group that is irresponsible and at some level right from the Klal Yisrael. Right, mm-hmm. So all the children who will become fry, they are right from two. They are right of the Kiruv movement. Do you understand why? And I spoke to Mishma Levis yesterday. I go back with him many, many years.
Which one? Ram? Rav Meir?
No, Rav Meir Mishma Levis. Paul was by Chavrusa for years in the Mir. So I spoke, and he said our biggest problem are American Rosh Hashivas who support this Kachal Meshigayim, he said, and they are the ones creating so many problems. Do you understand what is it about them that has enamored, you know, quote unquote respectable Rosh Hashivas in America?
Do I understand? No, I don't. I really don't. I mean, somehow, okay, I'll tell you. Let's say the editor of Hapelis.
Who is that, by the way?
Nati Grossman, somebody who is orchestrating this. Now, he is a master propagandist. He can go around America. He may wrap himself in America in the cloak of, we're the true defenders of the faith. We are the pure Hemshech. Let's say we bear the mantle of Rav Shach and so forth. But first of all, even Rav Shach said, whoever comes after me, you don't lead in the same way. A leader doesn't mean that you do exactly the same thing, because if you try to do exactly the same thing, situations change. The door changes. The situation of the Haredi public changes. The poverty changes. Everything changes. But he wraps himself in this mantle, and it's always good to be pure. Satmar has a certain purity. Brisk has a certain purity about it. And somebody jokingly said about this group, well, they claim to have the shitas of Satmar. They claim to have the shitas of a Brisk to be the pure anti-Zionist, except for one thing. They take the money. I mean, they don't even have... I mean, there is a certain purity to those who say, we are against the Zionist state. We are against this. But they don't take their money. These guys do. I mean, it's
Does Zach Rabbi Auerbach's yeshiva take money from the government?
Yeah, sure, they all do. They never come out against that. They will take any. They're in some ways freer about taking from government programs. No, that is not their shita to dispense with government funding.
So,
I don't know what you know.
So Jonathan, would you say, as somebody who resides in Eretz Yisrael and is a moderate, I mean, and not an ideologue, not somebody who criticizes freely, do you see them as reitfim of Klal Yisrael in their current state?
Oh, Rav David, you know, it's such a charged term here. You know, it was a term that was used before.
Okay, so let me rephrase that.
I just can't. I think they're a very destructive force. It's a destructive saying. We're not talking about the Beits. I mean, let's remember, the Talmidim of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai could still intermarry with one another. They could still respect each other's
shita. Yeah.
So the first question that I think we've gone past the point of no return in terms of the pilug in the small Lithuanian community. It's not that we're so huge that we can just splinter off into multiple groups. The first question in Shidduchim used to be, does he smoke? Now the first question is, does the family get hapelas, or are they associated with the Peleg Yerushalayim or Eitz, however you want to call it? I mean,
I think the question has changed, Jonathan. It used to be, does he smoke? And now the question is, what's he smoking?
Okay, leave that aside. That's for another show. I was just talking to Rob in Chicago about this, but that's for another show. But this is, you know, I just don't, unless you're, I mean, we borrowed, where does this Days of Rage come from? What does this have to do with Yiddishkeit? Days of Rage?
Comes,
I remember
Days of Rage come from Hamas, doesn't it? Doesn't it come from the
Hamas used it here. It goes, the first Days of Rage that I remember, I'm old enough to remember, the 1968 Democratic Convention, the SDS was a slogan, Days of Rage. It's been used by Hamas. It's been used in the Intifadas. It's been used by the
Black Lives Matter. Yeah.
for riots in the States. Who are we emulating? Who
now,
are our models? How did we get to this point? And you know, it's interesting. Rav Aaron Feldman, who I'm very close to, once told me that.
Rav Aaron Feldman has written a letter strongly supporting Peleg. That's what Rabbi Shmuel Levin told me.
Okay, I can't speak to that. And you know, I owe Rav Aaron was the sandik of my first son. I learned in his shir. He is a person whose contributions to Klal Yisrael are very great. He has children who are associated with this Peleg, and you know. I'm not defending, and I'm not addressing that. I just want to tell you a message that he told me once. He once told me during the years when the Yerushalmi kids used to go out on Shabbos afternoon and throw stones on the remote road. So I think he was living in Sanhedrin or Chevet or Ezra's Torah at the time, and he would go out and try to stop them. Now, he even 40 years ago, he was distinguished. Rosh Hashiva looked like a distinguished Talmid Chacham. He said these kids just laughed at him. What happens to 10-year-olds who learn to laugh at any authority, who learn to laugh at, for whom this is their way of expression, this is their fun, throwing stones, this is their fun, blocking traffic? I mean, they can't even possibly have the idea of the repercussions. These are kids out there, and they don't even know what it is for a woman who might be going into labor, might be in labor. If you're coming from Kiryat Sefer, there's no hospital nearby. I mean, there's no heshbon here. It sort of reminds me of the old communists who wanted. They're trying to provoke a war to show that they were right. They're trying to. I think they've already had a big hand in the Supreme Court decision against the draft law that was enacted.
Well, Jonathan, that's what I wanted to ask you. I think they believe that their demonstrations will stop the law of Dias that the yeshiva boys have to register. Do you think their demonstrations will help?
No, I think they're the most counterproductive thing that could possibly happen. If you were sitting on the Supreme Court, now you're a secular leftist, you're sitting on the Supreme Court, and you're asked to judge whether the Supreme Court, will leave that aside, a separate subject of the amount of power that they wield here. But you're asked to rule on the draft law, you could have fulfilled your quotas of people going into the army via boys registering for Nachal Haredi who were long out of yeshivas. But instead, you have this group saying, out there every day, you know, calling other Jews Nazis, calling policemen Nazis, calling from boys with their tzitzit out who are involved in some program in the army, even avreichim who are learning computer programming in a completely sexually segregated environment, and calling them Nazis and Oker Yisrael and whatever, and putting up signs in every building and not letting them daven and throwing them out of shul. If you're a Supreme Court justice and you see this all over and again all the time, the evil Zionists, the wretched Zionists, and you say, this is how you relate to an army which the codes does defend us. It defends us, right? Boys are dying. Boys are going into, and this is how you respond. And then you want us to grant you. I would go just the opposite way, just psychology, to say. And now we're going to be acquiescent in your exemption. You've done exactly the opposite. You've despised them. If you could show a little hakoras atov, if you could show a little respect, if you could show anything for even the sacrifices made by soldiers. Forget about the larger institutional structure, but nothing like that. I think they did. I think, and I'm not sure that they didn't want to bring about a Supreme Court decision against that draft law, even though now the Knesset cannot go back and enact a more liberal, a more favorable draft law. Even though this one is very good, they can't do that now because the Supreme Court's already ruled that this is inequitable. So the Supreme Court will rule again. So they made things worse, but it's like the old communists. We have to make things terrible so to bring about the revolution. I don't know what they're trying to do. Are they trying to set off a civil war here? We don't have the guns. We're not the majority.
Jonathan, what would you say to American who are approached for tzedakah by members of Peleg or Peleg, right? What would you say, and they when they come and they say we're the pure, and when somebody gives tzedakah to a cause like this, we have now in America this fellow Rabbi Tambach, he's collecting money for Peleg, for their schools, etc. What would you say to somebody who wants to write a check to them? Are they doing something that's L'tovas Kol Yisrael, or are they throwing a rock at the survival of Kol Yisrael?
I mean, I think they're just ill-informed. They may be well-intentioned people, but they're doing something that, first of all, taking away. Ask them would they go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky for a bracha? Would they go to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman for a bracha? Who have they looked up to all the years, and now they're saying they don't know anything. They're trying to create a new situation. They want everybody to go in. I mean, the charges that they make are so ludicrous. Inform yourself first. I mean, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch in Germany supported a secular education in schools. It's been more or less the norm in America. But he never supported, for instance, that in Yerushalayim, in the days of Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin, that they should have a school modeled on the Frankfurt School in Yerushalayim. He said, that's the business of Yerushalayim. They've managed to alienate everybody here. Rav Don Segel, who was always trying to remain moderate and neutral, and let's be friends and so forth and so on, finally said just recently, you know, they went away from the Derech HaYashar and Pakam Mehem Yiras Shemayim.
What did he say? I'm sorry. What?
The Pakamihem that it went out from them all the years of Shemayim. Yeah. I mean, when Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes about a group of, you know, as you say, frum-looking Jews, she'ein yiras Shemayim b'makom azeh, I mean, it's a spiritual blow too, and they're supporting that. If they could even explain why they want to support this group and why they want to give them further credence and why they want to allow this to go on. But they're sitting far, far away. Where do they? Why would they think that they understand the situation and should be paskening, all the years?
I'll tell you something, Jonathan, that the halacha of Ein Lecha Chacham Ella Shebiyamecha, right, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on right before Reu Bezdin, I forgot what daf it is, but it's right on top of where the Reu Bezdin starts. It says Ein Lecha Navi Ella Shebiyamecha, and so the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, when it talks about if you have a machlokes between doctors as to what type of refuah to use, so the Sharetzion brings from the Rabbeinu Manoach that it doesn't just refer to chronologically Ein Lecha Chacham Ella Shebiyamecha, Ein Lecha Navi Ella Shebiyamecha, but he says it's geopolitically as well. He says we're on the globe, as he says, the doctor of this city understands the illness of this city better than a doctor who lives at the same time in a different city. So you go after the doctor that is in your particular area. Right. And I think that's sort of a metaphor for what you're saying. It's like, why does somebody, could you imagine there's somebody here in the town that I live, Muncie, who's always going to these protests and screaming. And I would ask this fellow, imagine if Rav Steinman came out with a letter and he said, in Fourche, the women should walk on one side of the sidewalk and the meadow. This is my opinion from here in Bnei Brak. And the response would be I'm living here in Fourche now for 40 years. What do you know about Fourche? And yet at the same time, people feel very comfortable opining about matters where they don't live. It's 6,000 miles away, writing letters, getting involved in machlokes. And I think that would be and I heard this same response from Rav Eichenstein. We had him here on the program.
Yeah.
He said, why are people who live in a different country, in different time zones, why are they getting involved in a very local machlokes with people who are living it and understand the details? And I think that is halachically what the Sharetzion brings for Rabbeinu Manoach.
Well, there is, it's very fashionable in America, to keep your anti-Zionism pure, like the state has no merit. It's nothing good has ever come out of it. It's all vicious. It's easy talk. Some of my sons sometimes tell me, he said, in the mirror, when we meet the Americans in the mirror, you're like, they're so forbrent in their anti-Zionism because they have no relationship to it. It sounds cool, but they're just talking. There's so much talking, without any substance behind it. And I remember, together, Rav Aaron Feldman and I started the English Yeted Ne'eman, okay? So I remember, and that was at the beginning of the Degel Torah, which was a controversial itself because it split up Degel and Agudat Yisrael into two parties. And I remember Rav Aaron telling me at the time, he said, we're talking about Rav Shach, he said, but for me, the Iker is Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, because I used to live near him in Bnei Brak, and he's a person out of the public limelight. He's a person who's never sought the limelight, but when he's involved in this, then I know that it's pure, I know that it's good, I know that it's thought out, I know that it's wise. The way it was, his whole discussion at that point, when Rav Shach was the undisputed leader of the Lithuanian community, undisputed, and the decision to form a new party was his decision and his alone.
Well, Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, David. Good shouting.
We have on the phone with us Rabbi Chaim Aaron Tambach, who's a mechaber of many Sfarim, and he's a representative of the faction Apelleg Yerushalmi, the ones that are making all the protests in Eretz Yisrael right now. Let's hear what he has to say.
So, Rav Tambach, can you explain to Americans who don't live in Israel and don't necessarily understand, maybe aren't, on the ground, understand the issues? We see all the protests. We see people blocking roads, lying down on the street. Could you explain to us what it's about?
Yes.
What are the issues?
So this kind of protest, this is not new in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a different mentality. This kind of protest starts in the time from the Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, the Chazon Ish, in Gius Bonnes, in the big Milchome about Gius Bonnes, the Chazon Ish sent everybody to fight and to make protest, and the same like today, and the police, the same pictures like today. It's the same history. This is not new. That's it. And you have to understand, Giz Bnei Yeshivas is the Yehorik Bal Yavel. This is the tract from Rav Shach, and Chazon Ish, and all the Gdol Yisrael. It's a tchile from Yehorik Bal Yavel. And Yehorik Bal Yavel, it's another, we have another way. This is a fight, Milchemes Kiyom. And this is the only option that we have.
So, is it possible then, when somebody is fighting this Mohammed, to like, is there any limitations? Could you break what you want? Can you damage what you want? Like, is there any limitation to a Mohammed of Yerik Bal Yavel?
Somebody, nobody break, and nobody mazik. This is all the fake news business, like Trump said, it's a real fake news business. It's an aging light. The only problem is that the traffic problem, besides this, this is Eidel Choshiving Light, Amidi Chachomim, and Davim, he says Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shomayim, and Shiri Amaroche. It's not no Mamish Eidelkeit. The media is very against the Bnei Torah. The Bnei Torah is very far from the media. It's the Salto Veshamnov and the Yad HaSachreidis. No internet, no iPhone, no all the connection with the media. And that's why the Tzibo hear only one side.
Rabbi Tambek, I had on the...
You see, I don't know... What?
Rabbi Tambek, we spoke to somebody before who said he went to Bechasana.
Yes.
And nobody showed up on time because it was by Kiryat Sefer and they had blocked the road. And there was nobody by the Chasana. He said the Chasana started 2 hours late. And the Chasana
yes.
was very upset. And the Kala was very upset. And then I have a son-in-law in Eretz Yisrael. He said that he wasn't, my daughter has a job. She said she couldn't get to her job because the roads were blocked. So it's causing a lot of hezek to people. Imagine if by your wedding nobody showed up. Or imagine
okay,
you have
cool.
to go to work. So
number one,
does Yerik Bal Yavel allow you to do this or not? That's
yeah. So two answers about this. First of all, before the protest, everybody knows it's going to be a protest. So it's not. So everybody knows, and this is number one. Number two, you have to understand the police closed the street. The police make it, not the. Protesters, the tzibur, kedei lehamri des tzibur kenegdeinu, kedei zu amizolun tzfeintom un pashuldikin
Rabbi Tambek, it's hard for somebody who's making a wedding when they send out the invitation a month in advance or 3 weeks in advance, I don't know what Minig Eretz Yisrael is, to know that there's going to be a protest that night when they get married. And it's hard to change a chasana hall the same day of the wedding.
So why you didn't ask this the same question when it's a big levayah from Rav Avadia Yosef or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, all the Gdol Yisrael, it's also a big traffic problem. And nobody asked this question. Everybody understand that's it. And this is a Milchemes Kiyum. We fight on the future of the Kumadi Kedoyev. What?
Rabbi Tambek, so that's a good question, and let me say that. When somebody dies, right, when there's a levaya, nobody knows when they're going to die, and they don't control that. Or alternatively,
yes.
like if there's a snowstorm, yes, people's weddings get canceled because of snowstorms, or people don't go to work if there's a big snowstorm. But for somebody to go out and be a dayim, say, we're going to make a protest, and people will get married in empty halls, or thousands and thousands of people won't get to their jobs isn't that a mazik biadayim?
No, because you have to understand, this is the only kli, this is milchemes kiyum. You have to understand, if somebody tell you, you take 3,000 people, young boys, to the church every year, that, then you ask me this question, it's a mitzvah to lechalel Shabbos, it's a lochil shechonoch, you have to lechalel Shabbos, lehatzil nefesh afas. Mishmad.
I'm just listening. So basically, since it's shmad, just about anything is permissible. We could do anything because in
not
Zeris
anything,
Hashmad,
not anything.
Why
but,
not?
But, not anything, but listen,
almost
it,
anything.
You have to understand. I'm a Eretz Yisrael. I live in Eretz Yisrael all the years in the neighborhood of Yerushalayim. And if you have Shmiras Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, this is the schuz the Avgonis. If you have, all that you have is gives bonus, nituchei meisim, chitutei shafre, everything is mikoyach de avgones. Rav Eliashiv wrote tshuve, bishas de avgones in Pesach Tikve. This is also, so he wrote, we are the avgones, we don't have Yiddishkeit in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the prize. What can I do? That's
well,
the
Rabbi,
prize.
Rabbi Tamak, I learned for many years in Eretz Yisrael, and I remember Hafganis. I learned there for 5 years. They were usually in Kikar Shabbos,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it wasn't going to big highways. And the idea was, look, this is our neighborhood. If we don't, this is our people. We could stop a wedding here. If you work in this neighborhood, you're doing it sort of on our condition. But the Hafganis, they were short. I never remember all the 5 years I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I remember
yes,
all kinds of
in
Afghanistan,
the Maroc,
where they blocked. I don't remember them blocking Highway 1. I don't remember them blocking. I don't remember them blocking ambulances. I don't remember them
yes.
blocking weddings. I don't remember
understand.
Them blocking bar mitzvahs. So did
yes.
you say this is
you're
all?
Right, you're right, but you
I
have
don't
to understand
see that.
The big difference between all the Marocs, between Gius Bonis and Gius Bonim, Gius Neishivas. Between the Chitutei Shachve and all the Chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos, this is not my, it's not about me, it's about all the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, it's about the Masseh Bnei Eretz Yisrael. This is one kind of it. We fight and Doiroiseinu, the next Doiros, Aleinu Valboneinu Valbnei Boneinu. Al Tetzreinu Val Tetzoi Tetzreinu. This is another kind of fight.
So it is new. So this is a new fight. No, so before you said this is an old fight, it's been going on for generations, I only want to point out that this is not an old fight, this is a new fight. They never before stopped weddings, they never before stopped ambulances, so this is a new thing.
No, in the
Gizbonus, I was there.
In the Gizbonus, Chazonish sent everybody to Tel Aviv, and he said to the Menachem Parush, Vilde Betzach, Blutik Tzach. This is not, it's not a new story. You know, the Biskerov, the Dovid Soloveitchik, tells the story. So the Biskerov, everybody asked the Biskerov, why you say to go to the Afghanis and give us bonus? The Shitan Chazanish from the Biskerov is against the Afghanis because the Tzioinim is Shudim Ashkichos Domim. So why in give us bonus, you send everybody to go to the Afghanis and violate Afghanis, you know, unbelievable. You have to look at the history in this time. So he says, because this problem from Gizbonis bonus is the Oreg Valyavet. If it's the Oreg Valyavet, so what, we don't have a problem with Shkichus Domim. It's right, it's a Kones Shkichus Domim, but this is the Oreg Valyavet. And the same track we have about Giz Bnei Yeshiva, and it's not a secret, everybody know, even the officially it's calling Giz Bnei Yeshiva. But we know that Bechlal it's Negeh to Yeder Erlechit. Yeder Erlechit is the...
So, Rabbi, you say it's Negeh to every Erlechit. Would you consider, you know, 90% of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael don't agree? Would you say Rav Steinman is an Erlechit? Would you say Rav Michal Yehuda Lepkovich is an Erlechit? Would you say Rav Chaim Kinevsky is an Erlechit? Like... Are all these old people, you know, they're 100 years old, he's the eighth Barav El Yashiv, he's the son of the stipler, are they all becoming fry? Like, are they not enough
okay.
Shomrei Torah and Mitzvahs? Like,
Okay, I will tell you. It's a Mishnah in ADS. Yochid miti rabim, v'rabim miti yochid. So midin yochid v'rabim aloche ki rabim is aloche ki yochid. What I mean, listen, this is not a political problem, and this is not Reb Shmuel Oerbach or Chaim Kanievsky. This is not the issue. I'm not a Talmid Reb Shmuel Oerbach. I'm a Talmid Reb Moshe Shmuel Shapira, Zecher Tzadik B'Kodesh Livroch. He make a big fight together with Reb Michel Yudeh Leskovich, together with Rav Eliashiv, together with Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, together with Moritz Gdoyle Israel, is against this shit of Rabbi Steinman. And listen, we have COVID attended to all the Gdoyle Israel. It's Rav Steinman has his shit, Chaim Kanievsky has his shit, very fine, but we have Revovois, thousands of people, Bnei Toire, real Bnei Toire, Talmidei Rav Shach, Talmidei Stifler, Talmidei Gdoyle Israel, want to continue the old way.
So you
the
saying,
old way is, what?
So you're saying, Yachid v'rabim halacha ki Yachid, you said?
Yachid miti rabim. This is the only problem with Shmuel Oerbach.
But can I ask you a question? The Stifler's son is the son of the Stifler. He knows what he held, right? Rav Steinman
yeah,
is the Yorish of Rav Shach. All you have 90%. Isn't there a halacha of Achri Rabim Lahatis? I mean, don't we believe?
I told you, first of all,
Rav Chaim Kanievsky called him a Zokin Mamre. He said, when you have one person going against all of Klal Yisrael,
yes. I will tell you I tell you the story. I'm a Talmid from Moshe Shmuel Shapira and from Rav Shach, and Boruch Hashem Zachisi Leikon Yisrael Stipler and Gdoyle Yisrael. I'm a real Talmid Zachisi L'Sham Shei B'Kodesh in this subject Vad Astal and Nachal Acharedi. My Rebbe, the Moshe Shmuel Shapira, I wrote about them a couple of forim, Nichoy Choshel Toiro and most forim. And he fight a big milchome, and he's a very able man, kulo yoimer neimus atoyo. But in this case, he fight unbelievable milchome against the Nachal Acharedi and against all the story, because he know this is not the subject, is not the shvach bochim. The Medina tried to make a hole in
how many years ago was Rav Moshe Shmuel Nifta?
Before 11 years ago.
So let me ask you a question. You're a Talmud Chacham.
But I want to correct you something. You have to understand, Rav Shmuel Oerbach is not alone. Let me tell you a little bit from the list. Rav Shmuel Oerbach, Rav Yisrael Yitzchok Almenovich, Geoim Yisrael Ugdoy Shri.
Who?
Rav Aaron Schechter. Rabbi Yankel Meir Shechter, the guy that drives the Moshe Shem.
We agree, but it's certainly it's a miyot, right? We agree it's a small miyot. It's certainly a small miyot, right? So let me ask you a question. What would be, you're a Talmud Chacham, what would be the halacha? If you have a zakin, and he paskins against the rest of Klal Yisrael, and they say, no, you have to change. And he says, what do you mean? I'm a yachid mifi rabim. I was a Talmud of, my Rebbe was this one, was that one. I'm a Talmud of Yerkaviyad ben Mahal. I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer by the Taner Shalach. I have greater Kabbalahs than Heilige Rebbes and Heilige Zedis. Would you say he's a Zakin Mamre, or would you say, no, he has a big Rebbe. He's allowed to go against everybody.
Listen, I want to tell you something. In the Israel, nobody asks you a question. That's it. I can't tell you more than this. I'm very miser in Kovet Chachomim, and we have Kovet Atere is the base of the Yiddishkeit, and we mechabed all the Gdolim, and we not say and Gdolim words like Zokim Mamre and all this stuff. But listen, give me 20 seconds.
Yeah, no,
okay.
You can have 20 minutes if you want. Go.
Okay. Reb Shmuel Oerbach, Reb David Soloveitchik, Reb Meir Soloveitchik Zatzal, Reb Yisrael Yitzchok Almenovich, Reb Aaron Schechter, Reb Eliezer Vachtzogel, Reb Malkiel Kotler, Reb Avraham Dov Oerbach, Reb Rofen Tverje, Reb Aziel Oerbach, Reb Rofen Gdoyle Apoiskim Bedireinu, Reb Geizet, Reb Tzvi Friedman, Reb Shmuel Deutsch, Rosh Hashiva from Kol Teire, Reb Tzvi Rotberg, Rosh Hashiva from Beis Meir, Reb Shmuel Markovitz, Rosh Hashiva Sponovitz, Reb Osher Deutsch, Rosh Hashiva Sponovitz, Reb Shua Ehrenberg, Rosh Hashiva Schadera, Reb Tzvi Schenker, Reb Idahari Rauschman Ratzal, Reb Ntzian Bodyansky, Reb Zvul Shuv, Reb Yonor Diner, Reb Nosson Kopschitz, Reb Gaived, Reb Raived, Reb Moshe Sternbuch, Reb Oldenbergen, Reb Yanke Meir Schechter, Gdoile Israel, 200 Rabbonim, I have at least 200 Gdoile Israel, this is Yochid.
But it's 2,000 against Rabbi Kupchik. There's 2,000 on the
what?
Other side. But there's...
Okay,
my point is...
what's the problem?
So let me ask you a question. As a tzibur, what do you do when you have 90% go one way and 10 go the other way, and the 10 say, you know what, we don't believe in Achrei Rabbim Lahatais because we come from B.P. Rabbim. And therefore, we are going to split Klal Yisrael into pieces because... And then what happens? Another group comes along who has another 10%, and they say, you know what? We're a Yachid Mipi Rabbim, and I'm going to give you a list of 200 Rabbanim out of... There's 100,000 Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. Isn't this the destruction of Klal Yisrael?
Oh,
when everybody
you,
who has a shita runs around and each one, but it's more than that. It's not like he's paskening l'mekaymai. He's staying in his beis medrash.
It's an optic. You understand? This control and all a big chelik from the rabbanim don't have a choice. That's it. If you want money for your yeshiva, if you want a yeshiva, you have to. You don't have a choice. That's it.
But Rabbi Tamer, you can say the same thing. Rabbi Tamer, you can say the same argument the other way, that the Rabbanim...
No, the other way. We don't have money. We don't have nothing. Anim ve'vyoinim. You spoke about anim ve'vyoinim.
Now, let me ask you another question, Rabbi Tamer. Would you agree that because of the actions of that are occurring here, a lot of Freie people and Fruma are looking at this, they see them blocking traffic, they say, ah, feh, to be a Fruma Yid, it's a disgusting thing. To be a Haredi is a terrible thing. It's destroying the Kiruv movement in Eretz Yisrael. And more than that, I've spoken to boys in America who say they see this and they want to take the yarmulkes off. So somebody has a shita.
But the answer is very
I didn't finish my question, okay?
Yes.
Somebody has a shita and he says, I believe that I have a shita, and because of my shita, I could do something that is make such a chilul Hashem that it'll cause 100,000 Jews to leave Yiddishkeit. I have a right to. It's my shita. So does somebody have a right to have a shita that could cause 100,000 people to say, you know, Or Elikeshim and Ben Shetach. Does somebody have a right to have a shita that could do? And because if they're wrong, a chilul Hashem is enei neschaper ela b'misa. Anybody who does this, would you play Russian roulette? Would you put a pistol at your head and say, if I pull the trigger, I'm sure there's no bullet in here. That's a small chance. If I pull it, though, I'm going to die. Would you take such a chance? Because if you're wrong, all the people who are part of the Pelech is eilem chelik leilem haba.
Okay, so let me answer you. First of all, this tiny, I remember when I'm a young bocher, this tiny, you can hear from the Mizrahi, from the young Israel, never the Haredim asked this question. Afghanistan is not a new, protesting is not a new thing in Eretz Yisrael. This is number one. Number two, I want to explain you. The non-religion media is not so against this Afghanist like the Haredish media. You have to understand it. I hear an interview in Galei Tzal in Israel. So the Freie people it's mamish, unbelievable to see the Mesut Nefesh and English, the Starkeit, the stain of their Aquinas, and the Starkeit, it's Mamish Meoyer is pilot. This is what the.
I saw the media, I see the Yeshiva world.
Sorry to tell you.
Yeah.
What?
I see Freie people on YouTube. I see clips of Freie ladies in pants screaming. Hilecha, the worst things. These are Freya people screaming at the Fruma. It's not the Fruma. You see the
I hear a lot.
I'll send you the clip. We'll play the clips on the ear of them screaming. This lady screaming, all you religious Jews, it's the worst imaginable things. You see Freya screaming. I mean, I have the video clips. I'm not imagining.
Yeah, I know. You have, he make provocations. He me beweist euch Punkte besser Bild. You know what the media. I know from inside, from the Yeshiva World website. I know he's working together with the in Israel, the website in Israel, against the Bnei Torah. It's I know from inside. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So you're saying it's not
your fault. In Eretz Yisroel, everybody like the Bnei Torah. It's the only problem is the media, and the problem is that in America nobody know another site. Nobody know it's a big site, big Gdolei Yisroel in this side. Nobody know nothing, even dry information, simple information. Even nobody know nothing. This is a big problem, you know. You see,
but how does that
you have to hear something, you have to say with somebody like me. I don't know English.
But yes. Rabbi, how does that do away with Chilul Hashem? At the end of the day, if somebody's a ganef, right, and he steals $100 and nobody knows about it, it's not a Chilul Hashem. If that person steals $100 and the media is there and it causes a very big Chilul Hashem, it's ain't in his chaper. Bad luck.
Yes.
So
the Chilul Hashem is the media. The media.
Whatever, but Chilul Hashem is enormous. So how does somebody go to sleep at night saying, you know, if I'm right, I have a chelik le'olam haba. If I'm wrong, I don't have a chelik le'olam haba. Where's the Yiras Shamayim there?
It's Yiras Shamayim. You have to understand, the non-religion people respect. I got right now a lot from all the newspaper today, Friday, in the non-religion newspaper. Everybody is mechabed before me. The only problem is with the new Haredim, the modern Haredim, it's a big sin against the Bnei Torah. This is the only problem. The non-religion like people that's going
to
the
MS. are happy with the demonstrations, the non-religious.
I tell you, I know what's going in Israel, and I tell you, the non-religion is very happy with this story, yeah. And the Yeshiva Bochim is very happy. It's only a couple media, in the media and in the Begel Atreza Partei and Shas Partei, this is the only problem. The people in the street is very respect. It's a big covet for the military that if you take care on another, we take care on the Sfardish boy. We take care on every Yeshiva Bocher. It's very nice.
Thank you, Rabbi Tambach. It's Mamash HaKiddush Hashem. Thank you very much, Rabbi Tambach, for joining us. Okay.
So Rabbi Tambach thinks it's a Kiddush Hashem what's going on, all the blockages. And the irreligious look at it, the secular, and they say, wow, look at the Mesiras Nefesh. Well, let's listen to a few soundtracks off of YouTube and see what do they really think. If, you know, having your roads blocked for hours on end, people being blocked, let's get a third party's opinion. Is it a Kiddush Hashem or not? Now here's Rav Shach's view about demonstrating and disrupting public life. Let's hear what Rav Shach, and this is the first time in 3 years that we've played a clip that's not in English. Well, actually, the second. We did the other one with Rochaim today.
Lo I've been getting emails as to why I seem to feel strongly about this subject. And based upon, you know, what we've heard, it could be as dangerous to Klal Yisrael as Haskalah. When it comes to see the Bizayin HaTaira, when people see people who look like Bnei Taira being pulled away and screaming crazy things like, you know, Auschwitz, Velo LeTzava, screaming Nazi and Shiksa, they get a very negative view of Bnei Taira, and this is what, you know, we heard over. That's where Haskalah came from, when the Machloikis and the Bzayin HaTaira is where Haskalah came from. So this could be as dangerous as Haskalah. Here's what Rabbi Yeshua Eichenstein, who is the spokesperson, certainly in English, for the Gedolim, Rabbi Aaron Leib, here's what he said, why Rabbi Aaron Leib and Rabbi Chaim are so opposed to this movement.
What would cause Rav Steinman as well as Rav Chaim to be so upset about it? Like, okay, we have a difference of opinion. You hold like this,
no,
and I hold like
they
this.
They hold it to Sakona for Klal Yisrael.
And why would that be?
The Sakona is that type of anhogi will only bring a Churban. That's their day.
Is it because of Sinas Yisrael? Like, what is it?
No, if you want to say that you can't go, you can't register to the army and make only Havganot, and that'll bring the Yeshua. They hope that Anhog is a Sakona for Klal Yisrael. This Anhog will bring only Gahum to Klal Yisrael. That's their day.